This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us in this winter month of June. And we just trust that you are enjoying this beautiful winter month of ours. And we are celebrating our fathers. So I hope you're enjoying your family in this month. And yes, and we are here with Inalda Lochner. She's a pharmacist and she's written an incredible book called The Red Sea Road, and I think it's this very prevalent book to have as a tool. But we are going to now really discuss the life journey, and I hope she's going to encourage you that there is life after and healing through the loving guidance of Abba Father. And she's been on a remarkable journey. She is a warrior woman, a giver, an analyst, and a strategist at heart. She's a qualified pharmacist, a business professional, soloist, mother, wife, and independent woman. She has lived, loved, and lost. So she's going to share her story with us straight after this break. And we're looking forward to hearing this very touching and relevant and a very sensitive topic that she's going to share with us. But I think we've all been there. We know somebody that we love that has been there, or somebody that's busy going through it right now. So, Inalda, you're going to join us straight after this. Good afternoon, and thank you for being with us again this afternoon on my program called Rise. And I'm Renette Marburg, and I have a very wonderful guest in the studio this afternoon, Inalda Lochner. And she really has been through a journey of life, and I think we, as we know, many of us have been through that, but or we know if somebody's you know, that's been through it, as well as maybe somebody that is going through it right now. And once again, she's written the beautiful book called The Red Sea Road under the pseudonym of Anna Madeleine. And the reason is the fact that this is a wonderful tool to be able to really reflect on if you are in an abusive relationship, or you know, you have know somebody that is in it, but it's a nice a checklist of to see how far you are in abuse. And but Inalda, you're going to give us about the healing factor, and you know, after having a lot of loss, just share with us your journey from having got divorced. What was life you know, about after that?
Okay, I think I want to first thank you for having me this afternoon. Pleasure. I appreciate it.
Really a privilege.
I want to start with a scripture that somebody gave me. Actually, three people gave me the scripture when my husband left the house. The first was a couple that phoned me from Pretoria that I didn't know, from a bar of soap. And they prayed over me for 40 minutes, and part of it was Psalm 18.
Wow.
And that specific scripture, it's the only psalm that starts with, "I love you fervently and devotedly, O Lord, my strength." Mm. That's the basis of everything, is that for us to recover, we need our relationship with God to be intact, to be the place where we draw from, the place where we run to. The Lord has taken me through so many of His names practically that I cannot but believe how real He is. So I want to take you through some of the verses in the scripture, and then I will continue. It says, "I love you," and then it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my keen and firm strength, in whom I will trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation." He is our strength. So when we are at our weakest and we think that we cannot get up, He is the one that will do it for
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
It's unbelievable what we can do with God. And He's showed me this. And then it continues, "I will call upon the Lord who is to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Mm-hmm. I only realized this also as part of the divorce process. This process took 5 years. That if God is my covenant-keeping husband, and the Bible says in the covenant, in those times of the Old Testament, if me and you were to covenant, and you the stronger one, you the stronger king, and somebody comes to attack me, then you will come with your army, because we're in covenant, and you will come and fight with me against my enemy. This is another face of God. If he is your covenant-keeping husband, do not worry about the fight, because he's going to come and fight for you. He will. And that helps us, because it releases us, because when we are so tired from this, how many years of abuse, this divorce that drags on, the kids, the surviving, we don't have the energy to fight. I used to be a big fighter. I've given over. I just say, Father, please sort it out. It says, the cords or bands of death surrounded me, and the streams of ungodliness and the torrents of ruin terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted and came upon me. We can go through those things, but he does bring us back to life. So then I want to continue to just where it changes to what he's done. And I want just to give you God's perspective and the perspective that we need to keep.
That is so important, because again, he gives us all, he gives us the guidelines of the way. He has, everything is not an answer that's not in the word. Yes. And we can just trust, we can trust. It's one place that we can trust. Whatever gets given to us and shared with us from his word is life. And we can just continue with that. Is Karen sharing an elder?
Okay, on Psalm 18, verse 24, 25. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Listen to this. With the kind and merciful, you will show yourself kind and merciful. With an upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the perverse, you will show yourself the contrary. Verse 28, for you cause my light to be lighted and to shine. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. It is amazing that as we continue to forgive in this process, as we continue to give mercy, which we don't always want to. This was a clear question the Lord put to me at one point. God will bring those things to you. Do not give up and do not ignore his instruction. Because of the harm that was done to my children in this divorce, I found it very hard, and I still regularly have to forgive my former husband for the consistent consequence of what is happening in my children's lives. And at some point, somebody said, they sent a word to me, and they said to me, these people live in New Zealand, and they said, I see, I've been praying for your husband. His judgment's been called upon him. And he gave me the scripture that goes with it. Renette, as much as previously in my life, I wanted to see him just have some form of consequence to what he's done. At that moment, I knew, no, I don't want God's judgment on him. I fell on my face and I was crying out, God have mercy on him, God have mercy on him.
Yes.
The next thing I hear, will you have mercy on him?
Yes.
I was like, what? And now I know I cannot not have mercy on him. So I said, yes, God. But I did, I was so like shocked when I heard this. But he says, if you have mercy, I will have mercy.
Amen.
If you forgive, I will forgive.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that, because that is one thing I do in my counseling, is that I speak to the ladies and say, keep praying for your husband. Keep praying for your ex-husband. He is the father of your children. You never know when the Lord is going to do restoration and reconciliation with him. And that is going to be a glorious time. So we have to keep blessing the fathers of our children. So I just want to encourage you with that incredible, have mercy, have mercy. It is the most beautiful, liberating thing for even for ourselves that have been through the divorces and that is so liberating, that you can just have the freedom and say, Lord, just have mercy on them. And it's his doings. And we can just carry on healing and living life again.
Yes, it's wonderful that you shared that. Thank you, Renette, because if we don't forgive, we keep ourselves captive.
Yes.
And it's amazing. The Lord has showed me that my former husband will still come into his kingdom.
Amen. Of course, you must trust the Lord for that.
And we have to trust him for that. And I keep on believing that because that you don't want anybody in any other place.
Yes. Yes.
So let me continue this way. So just the end of Psalm 18, verse 46, 48 and 49. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I know that this is not about me.
Amen.
Or actually anybody. It is about God and what he does in us and through us. But it is actually the way he starts lifting us up and healing us is to be a testimony to him. I think at this point in time, I'm laughing again. I didn't laugh for years. And some of my friends commented, when are you going to laugh again, Analda? Now I'm like laughing like a silly young person.
And
I'm like,
enjoying life.
It's brought back my joy.
It's joy. And then that's wonderful.
It skips again. I just want to get this back to when I want to look up the verse, it goes to the previous chapter.
Yes.
Or just the last two verses on this one. 48 and 49, and why the psalm was so good to me. Oh God, he delivers us from our enemies. Yes, you lift me up above those who rise up against me. You deliver me from the man of violence. Therefore will I give you thanks and extol you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. That it literally in that scripture says, I deliver you from the man of violence. That is what he does. And eventually, we get to the point where we praise him. I've got to the point where I can actually praise him for my journey because of the goodness that it has worked within me.
Yes.
That thing, that sanctification process that the word speaks about. God is not only here to save us from going to hell. It's much more. So just touching on loss again very quickly. I think what makes the loss of an abusive relationship and a divorce so big is very multifaceted. I was attending a funeral on Saturday. I've had the following. My one friend's father died. My one friend's had a very wonderful marriage. Her husband died. And then other friend's mother died. So by Saturday, I'm at the second funeral. And as I'm sitting there, it struck me that this is my pattern. I lost my father, my husband, and my mother within 3 years, all of them. And it shook me, Renette. I started crying. I couldn't.
Yes,
I've never grieved the loss. But as I went home and I started praying and asking the Lord, what exactly is going on here? Because it was just so painful. I realized that there's a loss of friends, which is tremendous in a divorce.
Yes.
There are people who knew and they didn't tell me. They grew up with me. I couldn't believe my ears. The what do you call it?
The betrayal.
The betrayal.
Yes.
Then there's the loss of dreams. None of us got married to get divorced. None of us got married to walk through the pain. I was all starry-eyed. I believed the life is good and you can just keep on going. I didn't have big dreams. I had things like, you know, we're going to have Christmas,
yes, and
birthdays,
and just, yes, yeah, and more beautiful things of life.
Yeah, grandchildren and all those things. Your dreams. There's also the loss of history. Because if you've been with somebody for 23 years and you've got albums full of pictures, what now? Do I look at them? Don't I look at them? What can I let go? What will be important to my children? So you lose that part. And the other thing is the loss of our identity. Because you're not who you were when you got married. You're also now not a wife anymore. And it is hard for single women, whether you want to believe it or not. I didn't believe that there will be this bias because now suddenly I didn't have a husband. He wasn't there most of the time. So I was like, I always said, I'm a very well-kept single one. I'm a single parent.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was on my own a lot and people knew me as coming with my children. And people helped us. They accommodated us. Their husbands would bribe for me at the school picnics and they would also always accommodate us. But the moment the divorce or you moved out, things changed.
You could feel it.
I could feel it. People are more careful. They're not sure what to do.
They don't invite you, the third wheel. And so it goes on and on. And then they were your friends and both of your friends. Now they don't know how to choose, so they just move away. And people actually don't know what to do with a person that's been through a divorce. They don't know how to console you. They don't know how to be there for you. It's a very difficult journey.
Very, very difficult. The amazing thing was that in the past 2 years, because of people that I didn't think would betray me, who did.
That is painful.
I got the scripture from somebody I know very well, and she said, Jesus didn't entrust his heart to anybody because he knew what was in the hearts of men. And at that point, I knew I'd had to pray about who should be in my life and who not.
Very vital.
I cried for a week because if you pray, God's going to act. And I said, okay, Father, whoever shouldn't be on my journey, remove them. Let them go. And bring new people. It was very hard because I literally lost them.
And there is that transition period that actually, you know, being set apart is quite lonely.
It's lonely. And the thing is, I love my friends. Some of them was like still long, you know, deep roots, long relationships. And we have to trust God even in this. For us to be able to move forward, we need the right people around us.
Amen.
And that he will put the right people around us to take us forward on the next leg of our journey.
Amen. Amen.
And finally, not to leave them in bad space. We need to close it well. I think it's very important.
Yes, release them in love.
In love.
In love. And you know that the Lord has got a new plan and a purpose for you.
Yes. So, yes, there is life after divorce and after abusive situations. Very definitely, it looks different from what you ever thought it would be. But if you keep on looking to him and keep on trusting him, if you look back, so if I now look back at the past 8 years, and I cannot believe how much progress I've made.
Amen. Is that not beautiful? But you're going to share a little bit more of that when we come back. We're just going to take a quick music break, and we will continue this conversation straight after this. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. But I first have to do a little bit of homework. I just want to share with you that we have a WhatsApp line, 0817291657, and our Telegram number is exactly the same. And our SMS line is 37988 with normal rates applying. And we have a wonderful Facebook. You have to go and see what's going on. And our Instagram is 729 Pulpit, and there is so much activity happening there. So go and say hi and see what we are doing. And we are busy, 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 busy. And we have a counseling department, and I think it's very relevant to the topic that we have right now today. It's about life after divorce, and it's 021-9177-000, and you just put option one. It will ask for option one. Please do that. And if there's anything that we can pray with you, lead you to some advice or anything like that, please contact us if you're feeling you need some attention. And but at the same time, please go and download our 729 AM app. It is K-Pulpit, and we have got a live streaming option. We've got our podcasts on there, and if you have not seen us for a while, and go and look up your you can have a whole rerun of one of your special presenters and go and see all their listen to their programs. So please be encouraged to go and join us there. But today we have I'm privileged to have an Elder Lochner in the studio with us. She's a qualified pharmacist, but also written a wonderful book. And I think it's an incredible journey of the Red Sea Road, a journey from hidden abuse to a new identity and value. I love the word value attached to it, because that is who our Abba Father wants. He loves us so unconditionally. So, you know, but as a single parent, Analda, your journey and the challenges that you've had, but how have you navigated that?
Thank you, Renette, again. I think that is one of the hardest questions and one of the most difficult things to manage. Because if you were only looking after yourself, it's one thing. You're an adult, and this happened to you. But most mothers want the very best for their children.
Yes.
My mother wanted perfect children, so I was raised very strictly. And the only thing I ever wanted was happy children. I wasn't the one who was going to force him to get 100% in school or to be the fittest, the thinnest, or whatever it is people measure by. I wanted my children to be happy. And probably one of the mistakes I made while still in marriage was that I even pretended to them. I kept up the appearances. And my son recently sort of said to me, "You kept me in purgatory." And I'm like, "What on earth are you mean?" And he said, "Well, you, the way you acted, I never realized that I didn't have a father. And when things fell apart, I really didn't understand what was happening." I think for you specifically with a counseling background, there were signs. He knew his father wasn't there, but he also couldn't face it. So the reality is that we need to be so careful in what we do with our children. Our children, they are a gift from God to us. And we are here to raise them to become what He wanted them to be.
Yes.
God said in Malachi, He says, 2 verse 12, verse 15, He says, "Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been your witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you've dealt treacherously, yet she's your companion and your wife by covenant. But did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth." Sure. I studied the word so intently because I didn't want to be disobedient to God regarding divorce.
Yes.
The reason He gave marriage was to have godly offspring. Mm. So our work is to raise our children. We are supposed to be the example of God the Father and the Holy Spirit to our children. So now when you find yourself on your own, this becomes a bigger predicament even. So just remember, when we come into marriage, we all have our flaws and we do our best and we trust God and all those things. But now you've got this deliberate thing, a divorce that creates so much pain. So whereas you being pulled apart because of the marriage, the children are also. They do not understand what's going on. My students, I've worked with students for 7 years, they told me, "If I'm with my mother, I feel guilty towards my father. If I'm with
That's
my father,
right.
I feel guilty
oh,
towards
it's
my mother."
They have to really play ping pong with this relationship.
Yeah, and that is why it is so important that we would point our children to God the Father. Saying that we do not have a perfect mother or father on earth, none of us. We need to look towards Him. We need to teach them to forgive you. So I've asked my children to forgive me various times when I realize, but
vital.
Yeah, I've done something wrong, or the way that they've perceived. I'll say, "I'm so sorry that I did the following. This was not my intention. I'm sorry for the pain that you have to go through, the insecurity, the loss of a father." It really is God put them over us. If you take God's structure of God the Father or God, then the husband, the wife, and the children. If you remove that, there's a gap in the protection of the children.
Absolutely.
In identity, in all those things. So as being the mother, you need to always remind them to respect their fathers. If they get to a point where they hate them, you need to say to them, "I cannot," even if you don't have a relationship with him right now, you need to respect him, and we're going to keep on praying that you will restore that relationship. It is important to them, no matter what you feel about your former husband, because if they don't do that, they're going to carry more wounds into their own marriages. So we need to point them to Father, and we need to trust that He will look after them. This is the other amazing thing.
Yes. Is that not beautiful that we can trust Him with them?
We can. And this is the other odd thing, is we need to surrender our children to God.
Yes.
And then we do it and we take them back. But please give them back to Him. God showed me, I prayed to God and I said to Him, "If you are my covenant-keeping husband and my children are in relationship with you, then they've got relationship and covenant, you've got covenant with them. Please help me be the father to them, make things available. So provision has been on and off, not always easy, but my former husband did his due with his part with the children. So that helped that they could go through school, and then my father-in-law actually provided for them to go through university, which was good. My own journey is different, but that's not the issue right now. To my children, God was so faithful that for my son specifically, because I've studied this thing, I've got a very strong sense of men needing to be fathers and husbands and stand up in their position. I'm not a feminist. Yes. Let's make that very clear.
Yes, I hear you.
So I prayed that there will be people on his road to help him. And my son was 16 when this happened. And within 3 weeks, he came to me and he said, "Mama, you won't believe me. I put my name up for an outreach in the beginning of the year." And Mr. Kobus, this one, a younger teacher, came to me today and he said, "There's a space for me." He said, out of all the kids that he could choose, he came to me. He was very proud of it. "Can I go, please?" And I couldn't find my former husband. So I said, yes, regardless of the cost or whatever, because we had to act quickly. That was the most amazing thing, for my child to be removed from his current circumstances, to be in godly scenario in Malawi. It was in Malawi.
Fantastic.
The same, and that teacher walked with him through the next 3 years. He literally...
Is that not amazing?
It is amazing. He fell into serious depression. That teacher made sure that even if he went to the bathroom, one of his friends walked with him. He never understood. So I couldn't understand why 3 o'clock in the afternoon the boys are ringing the bell, "Where's my son?" They were protecting, guiding, guarding him.
Is that what is that new thing that they do, that buddy system? I think it's so vital. That is such a beautiful system where people just come alongside each other to look after each other. Wonderful.
It's amazing. So please, again, you need to reach out and trust that God will bring people. In his matric year, there was a minister from Karlsruhe, and they took him on another outreach. Every time, that one they said... I mean, came back and he said, "Mama," they were in the Karoo. "These fathers there, they have children, but they don't look after them." And the woman was busy speaking into this to this children. But I realized God let him hear the same thing.
Yes. They're called social fathers.
Yes.
They're called social fathers, these men that step in. I was privileged to have many dads that came and stepped in alongside my son when also in church and along the rugby field. And that is they're called social fathers.
That's amazing. I didn't know that term. It's a wonderful
term. I was on a conference this weekend about fathers, so that is what they call them, social fathers.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a wonderful concept. So that helped my son. Also remember that your children will react differently to divorce. So we cannot...
None of them. You're 100% right.
So we need to ask Father for wisdom for each one of them. And to explain this journey when you start going, as they ask you, especially when they're smaller, don't expand, just answer the one question. So at some point my daughter asked, did Papa have other ladies than you? So I just said yes. And then she kept quiet. And then months later she asked me another question. So you don't
go ranting off about everything all in the one basket. I hear you.
No.
But, you know, I want us to continue this conversation straight after the break, because this is vital information, because we need to know how to handle our children who respond. Like my three kids responded all three differently. Wow. And to this day, they still have their own opinions of the divorce. So I want you people just to be encouraged. Stay tuned with us. As you know that... you might have been through this. Maybe you're going through a divorce, or somebody is going through it. Maybe some good advice that you can give to them, Inelda. And I love the scriptures that you're putting it in, because it gives me a lot of peace in decisions that you have to make. We also often have to do a situation where we, a scenario of telling our children that they need to honor their mother and father so that they can have a prosperous life. It's a commandment. It doesn't say how the father and the mother need to be. It just says, honor your mother and father. Doesn't matter how they've turned out. So we just need to know that is a commandment and something that we really need to instill in our children. But Inelda, we're going to join you straight after this with further advice that you've got to share with us. Thank you for being with us still this afternoon. And I have Inelda Lochner in the studio with us this afternoon. And we're really touching
very relevant and mm-hmm. often not spoken widely about, because it is a very sensitive and touchy scenario of life after divorce. Divorce is really a very difficult topic to talk about, because there are so many various reasons why you get divorced. And but Inalda has really shared with us some scriptures. But at the end of the day, what is our responsibility as parents, on both sides? And if you're a single parent and a father is more absent than the mother, it could be the other way around. Inalda's got some profound advice for us. So Inalda, just share with us how you navigated and what you learned through your studies of the word of how to navigate your children.
Thank you, Renette, again. I think I want to continue in saying that children react differently to divorce, even if they were raised in the same house in the same way. And that we need to remember that their hearts are broken and that it's not God's design, but God.
But God.
There is tremendous wisdom in the Word of God. And we need to not only read the Proverbs, but for my son, I often say to him, but look at the story of Joseph. The Lord gave Joseph his destiny right in the beginning when he said, I dreamt that you were all going to come and bow before me. And then Joseph's journey went like they sell him, he's a slave, then he goes up, then he goes to jail, then he goes back. And in the end, he gives the revelation of Pharaoh's dream. And finally, his whole family is saved. In that whole hardship, there was no people teaching him about the word. But every time Joseph spoke, first he would say, God is the giver of dreams. Second time he said, God is the revealer of dreams. The last time when he got to Pharaoh, he said, all glory to God. And then he started doing the rest. And then when his family came, he said that they are forgiven. The Lord has sent me before you to prepare the way. It reminds us of Jesus. So sometimes through the hardships that we have in life, God is forming our character for the very big thing that we need to do much later in our life. And we need to explain that to them as well. Our house doesn't look like other people's houses, our family structure. It's harder than other people. You don't have the privileges that you had before. But there's a God in the heaven that helps us. How does he help us? We pray. My children get dreams, and my son even gets visions. I've got amazing dreams.
Wow.
But also, he helps us through people. Don't slap them away.
Yes.
Use them. You know, not use, but sort of take advantage.
Of their goodness and the support and the love that they're prepared to give you.
Yeah, and I also say to both my children, there's no perfect family, no perfect mother and father, but you can look around. If you see Tani Renee doing something that you like, just remember that as something that you can do, because it actually takes a village to raise a child.
Yes. So you can learn from every person.
Yeah, we can learn from everybody. Pray over your children constantly. Even if it looks like they are going off the road, do not stop praying. I've also taught my children that we need to pray, because I didn't pray for a husband. I wasn't raised that way.
Yes.
Nothing. And then last year, somebody prayed over my children. It was profound to me. She said, well, I pray that they will each find the spouse that will allow them to fulfill their own destiny, for the spouse to fulfill his or her destiny, and then for the combined destiny of their marriage to come
beautiful.
Into fulfillment.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And I'm praying that very constantly, because remember that when we are hurt, we attract hurt people. The more wounded we are, the more wounded person we will attract. I'm praying for the healing, and I'm very honest with them. I have deep conversations with my children. They are in their 20s.
Yes, so they can get it.
Yeah, but to be careful, but also not to be fearful. Because that's the other thing that can happen. So the one wants to get married all the time, and the other one is like, no, it hurts too much. And so we need to deal with these different personality types, and we need to allow God to work with them. also to consistently remind them that it's nothing that they did that caused the divorce. Because
that is so vital.
It's very vital. I pray for them for godly friends, because our friends can take our children along the wrong paths.
Yes.
And I've had this in some way with my son. I can also give the light again of this story is that as much as I wanted a family and my whole life was geared around family, all the events was always at our house and, you know, it had to be a happy space. And then everything fell apart and I was so angry at God. For I didn't require anything huge. And it took, I don't have family and he's a God of family. And it's this and that, all these things.
Very hectic conversation with the Lord.
Though it's probably not ideal to have your adult children in the house with you, but both my children are back in the house. And I believe that the Lord is giving us a chance to redeem the time that we've lost. And also
in a healthier way. Hey?
In a much healthier way. And now they're very open with their mother. Do you remember that adults. Night when you shouted at me? For
but they're adults, so loud to be.
Yeah. So I think it's not to give up. To understand that God is the all-sufficient one and that by our example, we lead them. I was very concerned at some point in time that they see their mother praying and they see life is getting hard for her and it's getting harder. And on the other hand, they have a non-believing, you know, new family and it's going very well there. And I was
I think we've got a few of us that have that same scenario, but
yeah,
God is God of our family and they have their own one looking after them.
Yes, they do. But I was concerned that they might just think, but, you know, our mother's way is not a good way. Look at the results.
Yes.
But it's not that.
Yeah. It's not that.
So in this, I don't know how much time we've got left.
We have not. Got a few more minutes. Another 2 or 3 minutes.
Is it?
Please share. Continue.
I think I want to read a scripture that the Lord has taken me through. And again, it gives his promises.
Please share that with us.
It teaches us to live in the opposite spirit. And we need to teach this to our children as well. Because we want to fight. We want to stand up for what is ours and my rights and my all these things. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I have whatever happened to me? But his promise is very beautiful. And I believe this is the promise that takes us to become more like Jesus. This one is in Matthew 5 verse 1 to 12, but I will just start from verse 3 onwards, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted. We will all be comforted, it includes our children. Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we can keep that in front of us, so that we can inherit the kingdom of God, that we can become a son of God, I think then we've achieved what we were supposed to be achieving.
Amen.
And that eventually none of these things that happen to us really matters. It is hard. It is difficult. You cry, you fight, you everything. But the richer person that we become when we walk this journey with God, when we know we can cling to with literally everything that we have, is amazing and not a journey that I would change.
Myself, what a joy. You know, it is really the most significant journey a person can have.
It is. And there was a time just before my mom passed away that she wrote to me. She couldn't speak anymore. She had motor neuron disease. And she wrote to me, I need to move on. And she's understood that I'm very bitter and all kinds of things she wrote. Like one of the speeches your mother can give you. And I said to her, "Mama, he was my destiny. Because I had to learn the things that I'm busy learning.
Yes, I say that all the time.
And I believe the same for our children.
Yes.
Because our Father strengthens them. We don't know what the journeys are going to be. But he's teaching them. And I pray that he will grant us all the grace to hear what he said, to teach them, to love him, to be a good example of who he is, so that our children can still stand on our shoulders regardless of what we've
yes,
been through.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing with us, Inalda. Thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge and your resources. And I would encourage you, just tell us where we can get your book again, The Red Sea Road, if there's that email address.
It's Inalda, A-N-E-L-D-A. At Sefer, CEPHER.co.za.
Wonderful. And I really hope that you're going to be encouraged by just understanding the journeys that we're on. Sometimes it's part of our training, and he's got a special path for us. Those that have been through it or going through it or know of somebody going through it, but the Lord is in our camp, and we are so privileged to have him as our Abba Father that will be with us no matter what, and he will give us our joy back. He's a God of restoration, of redemption, of healing, and he is in our tomorrow. He's in our tomorrow. So, family and friends, be encouraged. I trust that you're going to have a wonderful week further, and we will see you next week, same time, but stick to the rules and be good, and goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.